two guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, going against such great players, you know, you have the same challenges you'd have ever going against a player when you lose one of your guys. You know, you have to, you know, plan accordingly, and then just all of us have to be on the details and be precise in our execution.
Glenn, was there some subliminal messaging there why you played a Kirk Cousins clip to start a Turkey of the Year preview segment here on Mackie and Judd? I was kind of wondering what the deal is with that. Are you suggesting him as a candidate?
No, not at all. I mean, I love Thanksgiving. You know, Kirk's been my stuffing. Stuffing's my favorite Thanksgiving item by far. Like, I go for second, thirds, and fourths by far on the stuffing. And Kirk's been my stuffing, man. I've had no issues with Kirk.
No stuffing for me. Not on our table this year.
That's a sin. Well,
look at you guys being very disciplined. Thanks to your friends. At Livia, go ahead. Why don't you, before we get to the Turkey of the Year preview show, talk about how Livia is helping you through these holidays.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. You want to lose weight, right? Like tomorrow, I know. Go ahead, eat, have fun. You have your day in the sun, but Friday morning, you're going to wake up and there's going to be ramifications. The scale is going to tell you things you don't want to see. You can't handle the truth, but you know who can? My friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. They can, because they can help you take off those extra pounds. Do it by springtime. Do it by the end of football season. Be down 20 pounds. Guess how good you'll feel, and the guilt about Thanksgiving will be long gone. And here's the best part, save 50% right now. So write this down, because you probably won't do it today or tomorrow. But Friday, give yourself a Black Friday gift. Save 50%. 855, go Livea, Livia.com, Livea.com. Again, 50% off, best offer of the year from Livia.
There you go. So, all right, boys, we've been doing this for, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years, going back to our old 1500 ESPN radio show. Our good friend and legendary columnist, Patrick Roycey. Going all the way back, I've got a list here. This goes back to like 1978.
Wow.
Yeah, Woody Hayes was the first ever Turkey of the Year.
Yep.
He went largely national for the first handful of years, and then he turned his sights on local victims, poking at local sports figures, starting with Paul Giel in 1983.
He's told this story a lot, but so he started in 78 because he hadn't quit drinking yet.
Yeah.
And of course, Drinksgiving was on.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think he was driving to the Pioneer Press trying to decide what would be a potentially evergreen column. And he thought, he came up with this, because he's like, I can do this on Drinksgiving every year. And of course, at that time, he's probably like, I'm not going to quit. So, and I believe that he said he pivoted to local people because it would get Sid too. So like Sid would be upset, you know, his friends. So I think that was part of the pivot, was to piss off Sid Hartman back then by picking people that Pat knew would get in Sid's get Pat in Sid's crosshairs.
Yes. So over the years he has, I'll just go through, if you've never heard of the Turkey of the Year, if you're kind of new to the show or whatever, it's basically a crowning achievement for someone in local Minnesota sports, usually that, didn't quite perform up to par in whatever their job was. So if you go back, for instance, to 2009, it was Tim Brewster, the beleaguered head coach of the Gopher football team. Brett Favre in 2010 for coming back and just being a total dud in his final season. I'll skip ahead here to Terry Ryan in 2013, coming back for his second stint and it not going well. 2014 was 25 years of Timberwolves basketball. 2018, it was PJ Fleck. I can't find 2019 in here, but we'll work on it. 2020 was Mark Coyle, the athletic director at the U of M. Last year, it was Gerson Rosas for getting a little, inappropriate with his workplace relationships. Although, in retrospect, he built a pretty damn good roster that wound up making the playoffs.
Yes.
So, here's the exercise. I think the article will come out around midnight going into Thanksgiving. Let's just go around the room. Let's just throw out candidates one at a time, and then we can discuss their resumes.
Okay.
So, and you know, if we might be forgetting some, so if we do forget some people inside the state of Minnesota or out, you can hit us up in the Score North YouTube comment section. But, Joe, why don't we start with you? Just give us, and I should say, too, that sometimes the obvious, like Gerson Rosas was the rare obvious one. Mm-hmm. I would say one in every four is like an obvious one, but he also kind of likes to go with the non-obvious ones.
Yep.
So that's something to consider here, but I think we should explore all space and all candidates.
I agree completely. And I also think that we now have to go back to the year that's been glorious 2022 and like where would the candidates come from. And I'd like to start in the dugout at Target Field. So Derek Falvey could certainly get it, okay? But I don't know that's as much fun as this one. Doc Rock, Rocco Baldelli, who never saw a guy that he truly thought should play two consecutive days, and who was the poster child for the guy who went out and yanked a pitcher, damned how well he was doing, we didn't care about it. Rocco Baldelli, to me, especially because he's also like turned a corner now, you know, first 2 years were really good, first year was fantastic. I think if I was to pick somebody from the Twins, I think it would probably be Rocco. Mm-hmm. Probably too obvious, but I'm trying to think of Twins guys. And keep in mind, Patrick, like there's very few teams in this town or programs that really like that he gets really mad at because he was a fan as a kid. Twins certainly qualify.
Okay, let's just start with one. Okay, so Rocco. Rocco's candidacy would be pulling pitchers early from things that drive Royce nuts.
Yep.
Third time through the order. We can never go through that intersection. Third time through the order.
Right.
Constant rest days for star players. The Buxton plan. Now, some of this is tied into front office, too. So I think Rocco and then Falvey, Levine, like Twins brain trust could all just be lumped in here.
I would even label that as just Twins coaching staff. From the Wes Johnson debacle to Pete Mackey to the wave them home Watkins on third base for God's sakes. I would actually just loop them all as Twins coaching staff as one. He might spare Falvey and Levine because I think he would look at the plans that have actually happened on the field more egregiously than the other stuff.
Yep, all good points. I will throw out for mine here Falvey and Levine. Okay. Let's look at their candidacy and their resume. I think the biggest thing would be trading for broken pitchers, that you have a chance to add to a team that has Carlos Correa, and for a while Byron Buxton was healthy until like the last 6 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And in the offseason, you trade a really good trade chip. People are like, well, Taylor Rogers turned out to be terrible. At the time they traded him, he was a really high-caliber trade chip. He was an asset. And they wind up trading for a guy that had a strained UCL in Chris Paddock at the end of the season. So that would be one. And then Tyler Malley was shut down for like 2 weeks with shoulder fatigue, two starts before they, and then the Reds like ran him out there. Just please go make a two starts so we can trade you to some poor sap team. So I think Falvey and Levine for not only just trading for broken pitchers, but two seasons of near last place baseball in the American League Central.
I'll keep it with baseball for right now because I have another candidate, but he might actually throw in Buxton as the turkey of the year. So I know the guy's is injury history plays a lot, but Pat gets so sick of it and he gets so upset that he can't play center field. He literally prays the Cleveland Indians. He might have won the Gold Glove Award this week. I forget the slappy that bats ninth for Cleveland all season. And he's a great defender, but he's there he is in the lineup. Hitting 220 every day because he can play center field. And then also Buxton's latest attempt at clapping back at Twins fans on Twitter, which actually I kind of side with Buck. I don't have a problem with Buck doing that to a degree, but Pat might look at that as more of ammo of you're the turkey of the year. So I'll throw in the third Twins candidate as Byron Buxton on its own because I think he's sick of him not staying on the field.
So he definitely likes to go for, if there's a beloved figure that he can poke at, he loves to do that. I think you're sniffing around, but I'll throw out another Twins option. I think if he's going to go with a Twins player, it would actually be Carlos Correa. And Correa, I know, was mostly healthy all year and performed at a pretty high level, but he hit like under 200 with runners in scoring position for the first 3-4 months of the season.
Yep.
And he would kind of sit randomly. He kind of went along with the Twins' plan to just, like, load management, rest, and whatnot. And then he makes the Dior comments. And, like, I want to be here, but, you know, you got to pay up. I think there's some things to poke at Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's a fan favorite, Pat would like to go contrarian and stick the needle in a little bit.
So I think Correa potentially gets a seat at the table of some sort. I don't think he would win it, but sure. I think he definitely could qualify, because Pat also loves to include guys who he can turn a phrase on, right? Like Dior.
Correct.
So,
yeah. Make a joke.
This is good. Yeah.
I could definitely see that. But I think Falvey or Baldelli probably have the best chance to actually win it.
Okay.
We should set odds on these.
I think we did once.
We used to do that, actually. Yeah.
Chris Long, yeah. I think.
Our official odds maker. Yeah, Chris Long.
Our official degenerate gambler.
It's so hard, though, because the odds are sort of it's the obvious odds, not necessarily the get inside Pat's brain odds. So in terms of obvious odds, Doc Rock would be higher up. But I think Carlos Correa in Pat's mind might be higher up because of all the things he could joke about and stick the needle in. So, all right, Judd, throw another candidate out. Let's dissect some more resumes here.
Okay, I'm trying to think of because this is top of mind right now. And I don't think Fleck would win it because it's just too obvious.
And he won it 4 years ago.
And yeah, but Pat has thrown out. I've seen him tweet, you know, not many two-time winners of the Turkey of the Year. And it's very top of mind that these guys, pardon my French, peed away a unbelievable chance.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, well, they beat the Buckeyes, and then they blew it against the Wolverines. They didn't have them on their schedule.
Yes.
So what's the tie-in? I mean, it might be Fleck, but what's the tie-in go for football? Because this is, pardon the pun, too juicy to pass up in some ways.
I love this one. Yes, because he's already won it, you'd think. He's probably not going to go back to that well. Well, Carl, I'm trying to look at the two-time Turkeys of the Year. Carl Pohlad, 1987. Mm-hmm. You'll have to explain that one to me. Because they won the World Series.
Oh, he didn't give – he explained that one. They won the World Series, and then I think Pohlad didn't give people at his company the day off.
Okay, of course not.
He forced them to work, I think, and so Pat went ballistic. It was great.
And then he won it again in 1998 for presumably trying to move the Twins to North Carolina or something.
Yeah, and then shortly after contraction. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find if there's other
– So he's done, like – So he had, you know, Mark Coyle in 2020. He had Fleck in 2018. Men's athletics at the U of M in 2016. So he has, he's had things in the same bin. But I don't see anything here that there's a repeat.
So maybe only Carl Pohlad. There might be, I'll comb through this to see. But this would be, it would have to be extreme circumstances to go repeat. But these are pretty extreme circumstances. No Michigan, no Ohio State. You start 4-0.
Yep.
You blow the doors off your first four opponents, and then you just go completely in the tank. You run for 300 yards at home against Iowa, and you can't score more than 10 points. Row the boat, Sky Yamaha, go Gophers. Like, there's just a lot of fodder here.
It feels, because, Phil, of what you said off the top, which is Pat does not like to do just the blatantly obvious, it feels like a strong runner-up contender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just too, he's mocked Fleck before. And so if he does, it's not going to be surprising at all. Like, I feel like there's a special place in the Turkey event for PJ. But I also think, knowing Pat like we do, that he would probably, if he was inclined to do this, say, I can't do this because it's too obvious.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I'm going to go over to the Target Center here.
Yep.
Because he brought this up himself this week. We kind of planted the seed with him. Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great, he likes to punch up too. If we're making rules of Patrick Roycey, punch up as much as you can. And this would literally be punching up. A 7-footer who makes about $50 million a year comes in.
Yep.
Is having a hard time figuring out what his role is in this thing. He's been fine, but there's been some growing pains. And as the team is going through growing pains and Rudy is playing fine, but he's certainly not playing like a $50 million player, he then vents frustration at the fans for being frustrated.
Yes.
So there's just a lot here to potentially put into a resume. Rudy Gobert.
That was going to be my next one, because over the last 2 weeks or so, and especially yesterday even, he has been hinting a lot at not just Gobert, but Connolly's decision to move on from the four picks. Like, I would even though he's new on the job, I wouldn't be surprised if he threw in Connolly here, that he threw all these picks out. He's not a D'Angelo Russell fan who certainly can be a finalist in his own right. I actually wouldn't rule out for a guy who's only been here for, what, 6 months, that Connolly might have a seat at the table as well.
Could see that.
I think you hit on a name that we shouldn't dismiss, though. D'Lo.
Okay, so as you say that, because I was thinking this too, I was curious, because the turkey of the year is not, it's not always, well, at first I was going to say it's not always a calendar year thing. It could be anything that happens after Thanksgiving from the last turkey, right?
Yeah.
But double whammy here. D'Angelo Russell called out the quiet-ass Timberwolves fans on February 7th, 2022. So yeah. D'Lo, overpaid, underperforming, and calling out fans, all fits within the turkey of the year calendar year of 2022.
And nobody know what's so that actually worked. Like, fans didn't get mad and responded. And now Crunch goes to the top of a ladder at Wolves games before they start. My God, I think he might fall off sometimes and starts to bang his drum. But that being said, I also find it funny now that nobody, in my opinion, often plays more dead ass, to quote him, than D'Lo.
Yeah.
Like, his game is dead ass. So it's like he's calling out people for doing exactly what he does on the court at times. So I think that this says, and Pat can't stand him. It's just very clear. So I think this has the sort of perfect storm components to be D'Angelo Russell.
And it's a contract year. If you're going to be motivated to perform well, this would be it, right? He can't even be motivated to perform well in a contract year. And he was benched in the final 6 minutes of game 6 against Memphis, decisive playoff game. There's a lot on this resume.
And sure. I also think, if I can get inside just for a moment the brain of Patrick Roycey and knock around in there, I also think deep down he knows that D'Lo would find out and this would bother him.
Oh.
Like, if it's Rocco, he's going to turn Fish up louder. Ah, okay, yeah, whatever. In fact, he would almost get it probably and think it's funny.
Yeah.
D'Lo would be, this would get back to him.
Personal
and
attack,
he would be personally disturbed.
Which is even more reason to do it.
That Pat would love that. I'm knocking around the brain of Pat Roycey. Yeah. I think you'd love that.
Another Wolves one, since we're on the subject. This guy would not rank high on an odds list if it was just who are the obvious people. But I think Pat likes to find people that aren't obvious or that you wouldn't think are having a bad year. Could he find a way to put Mark Laurie at the table? Taking his shoes off at courtside, you know.
Here's my guess. No, and here's why. Timberwolves are owned by Glenn Taylor. I don't know that the powers that be at the Star Tribune would sign off on some. Now, if it's a Wolves player, I think you're fine. But if it's a guy who's going to buy the team from Glenn, I think that one might go up to the proverbial, unfortunately, Star Tribune food chain.
That's fair. So Glenn Taylor owns the Star Tribune and the Timberwolves.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why Glenn, of course, will never be mentioned again as a candidate for Turkey of the Year. Even though it could be.
In 2002, he had McHale and Flip as co-Turkeys of the Year winners. But outside of that, and I know he had the 25 years of Bulls basketball, which is just genius, to be completely honest, but that was a gap. He didn't have a Wolves person on his list between 2002 and the 25 years of Timberwolves of his Turkey of the Years.
Glenn Taylor has never,
no, never made
directly
it on
won the Turkey of the Year award.
Mm-mm. Didn't get to it in time.
Another one to keep in mind on the Wolves, because he also voices how much he loathes this guy, is Pat Bev. He hates Patrick Beverley. And now
Beverly's going to change the culture of the Lakers, and they're like 5-12.
He's throwing checks now.
He literally checked a guy yesterday on the court and got thrown out of the game. Pat Bev might have a seat on the table as well. He's not the winner, but he'll have a seat at the table.
One. Yeah, that's a great one. Yes,
definitely.
Okay. As far as Vikings, that's a tough one this year.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about this,
they're overachieving. He kind of likes. There's nothing really to make fun of for Kevin O'Connell.
He loves Zimmer. Like, he wouldn't put Zimmer on here. He loves Mike.
And with what Mike is going through now,
you really
wouldn't.
No way.
Spielman, I don't think he cared enough about. Like, the one guy that he comes back that he can't stand or that he criticizes, Ziggy. But his team's playing well, so it's very,
it's tough.
I'm with you. I think it's sort of a non-starter. I was trying to think of players, but you know, he's not like anti-Kirk. So like there's no starting point for him to pick Kirk. And I think that he thinks that a guy like Kirk a lot of times would just be boring. It would be so obvious for his previous years up until this year.
He would probably feel obligated to put a Viking at the table just to represent the Vikings. So maybe Kirk would be at the table because he's got career low numbers across the board or something, but no chance that Kirk would be the winner. I have an entity. I have one to throw out at you guys that I don't think has ever come close to winning it, but it seems like it could at some point. But I want to shout out our friends over at Chill Boys real quick here. It's long underwear season, boys.
Yes, sir.
Old Macadac is rocking the long underwear multiple times a week here. Give me one word to describe how Chill Boys, whether it's the underwear, the hooded sweatshirts, any other number of clothing, how is Chill Boys making you feel these days?
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Wore them Sunday to the Vikings game, and Dawn said, Are you outside at the Vikings game? And I'm like, no, you know what? The long johns are so comfortable. There's no bunching that for the time I'm outside, it's comfortable. And inside, it's not too hot.
I like
phenomenal.
I mean, it's Thanksgiving, so I'm thankful. I'm obviously very thankful for my Chill Boys. In fact, if any fan members ask of the three Thanksgiving dinners I basically have to go to over the 9 hours of tomorrow, what are you thankful for, Declan? I'm probably just going to say my Chill Boys. I'll keep, you know, the pants on. I won't show them the Chill Boys, but I'm very thankful for my Chill Boys. That's probably what I'd go with.
I feel exquisite. It's a great stocking stuffer, too, if you'd like to get some Chill Boys for a loved one. That bamboo fabric fits very nicely inside of stocking. Chillboys.com. It's a Minnesota-based company. You can find them, again, at chillboys.com. Score 15 for 15% off your first purchase. Also, a shout-out to our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. They've been around for over 100 years, helping businesses with risk management. It's like having a great offensive line for your business. A great guiding hand with over 100 years of experience, expertise, knowledge. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. Where it's our business to protect yours. I'm thinking for the first time ever, and I am not reporting this. I do not have any inside Patrick Royce mind sources here.
Yeah.
Could Bally Sports North.
Oh, wow.
He's picking at Jim Pete.
Yep.
Just on our show alone, every week he's picking at Glenn Perkins, a longtime friend of
Morneau.
The show.
He
Morneau
loves Morneau's commentary.
Yeah.
Could Bally Sports North be an underdog candidate to take the Turkey of the Year award?
I love this suggestion. I absolutely love it. And I feel like coming up next. If Bally's gets it, we should take a bow, because I feel like we have egged him on a lot about this. Like, you play the theme song when he mentions it. We've talked to him.
Subliminally, he's just, all he hears in his head when he walks around is, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
I feel like there was a time during the course of 2022 where Patrick almost got tired of my incessant complaining about Bally's. But then he just sort of glummed on.
He does it more than we do now.
Yeah.
I heard what Katie was asking, whatever. He's ripping everyone. These poor sideline reporters. I heard Marnie say this on the post game.
I got to talk to my gal, Marnie. I love this one. This is good, Phil.
They had a seat at the table last year, and so did specifically Roy Smalley.
Oh.
So Bally's was on there on its own, and Roy Smalley, Twins broadcaster, was on its own as a seat at the table of last year's Turkey of the Year.
And, you know, sometimes the Turkey of the Year is like the NBA playoffs, where you got to take steps. So you get in the first year, maybe you're at the table, and then you get to the second or third round, and you're, like, closer to the head of the table, and then you break through after 3 or 4 years, and you finally become the actual turkey.
So here's the only issue, too. So I like your idea of the entity, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would give it to, like, any specific people who were outside of the former player role, because he wouldn't want them, because there are certain people I'm thinking of the two games there that would they might be upset, but they'd also be like, I'm important enough to be the turkey of the year, right? So like, I think Bramer's out, LaPanta's out. Like, they would be a great, I mean, that'd be a great coupling. That'd be hilariously funny. But I don't think that he would want to give them the satisfaction of that much acknowledgement. Because, I mean, this is a big deal. But I love the Bally's point. And you could group a lot of people then, Morneau and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you could just, it could be, it could, the whole table, essentially. You could have, like, one room for, like, there's, like, a banquet. And a table, but then there's like a head table with 10 people from Bally's all sitting at it as the turkey table.
And it's nothing but plaudits and positives. Like, the whole table is like, the turkey isn't dry. It's just not as moist as it could have been.
But coming up next, we'll tell you how next year's turkey is going to be the most moist turkey ever.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love this.
Okay. Oh, man. All right. What else? What other candidates are we?
What national
wild?
Ones?
Well, national wild.
I don't know that he would do a national one. When's the last time? I'm probably not remembering, but when's the last time he picked a national figure?
I think it was Charlie Weiss in 2007, the Notre Dame coach. He also did the Grim Reaper in 2015, but that was mostly for like Flip Saunders and
Flip. Yep, exactly.
So he's done. So Charlie Weiss in 2007,
but like,
then you got to go back way before. You got to go Kerry Strug 1996. About once a decade, he's good for a national one.
So last year of his finalists, he did have Kyrie, who could be a repeat offender, NBA panelists of national television. Dustin Johnson was on this list. Rich McKay, the Atlanta Falcons CEO, was on this list. So he'll probably have at least 3 to 5 national talking heads at the table. I doubt someone wins it, though.
Yeah. It just hit me. Now, this is probably a long shot because of the political nature of this one, potentially, as far as the Star Tribune is concerned. Has he ever had Cheryl Reeve?
No.
She drives him crazy.
And they had a bad season.
Yep.
And they promoted her.
And
after
he's got the Maya Moore, the Maya Moore stat. He loves that one. Without Maya Moore, Cheryl Reeve is whatever as a coach and has no titles. Cheryl.
Well, that's a great one.
Really sensitive one, though, because I don't know that the Strib would. Yeah. Because the Strib does get this. I mean, they don't just shepherd it through and publish it. So
she would take it very personally, I think.
Yes.
It would also be a great badge of honor in some ways, because you look at. Yeah. A lot of the people on this list are Minnesota sports luminaries who did have great careers. I mean, Terry Ryan, Tubby Smith went to the NCAA tournament a couple times. He's a very good, historically, college basketball coach. In fact, most of the people on this list are people that had a peak and then stumbled, and he hit someone and stumble, right? Terry Ryan.
Who we liked.
Ziggy Wilf, Tubby Smith, Brett Favre. Marion Gaborik, Pam Borton, 2006, went to the Final Four, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, she's the turkey. Glenn Mason, 2003, Mikhail Flipsnyder. So he's punching up. Again, it's people that are successful,
right,
that make a lot of money, that maybe need to be brought down a peg.
Yes.
She fits the profile 100%. But would it be viewed as like, you're denigrating women's sports in some way by the Star Tribune? I could see that.
But actually, I think Phil, it could be justified though, right? Because she's important. She's won titles.
It's a compliment, really. I mean, yes, it may not seem like it.
Yes. Her, well, and it would draw attention to the sport itself locally, right? Because to win it, you have to be important enough to win it. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I love this, man. I think we should
you can make the argument.
We're gonna take a break here and come back with some write that down predictions. I think we should all go on the record and write that down. I'm gonna go on the record.
Yeah, I am. Actually, I had one that I wrote down on Monday.
I hadn't thought of this.
So yeah.
I hadn't thought of this.
I got one.
Yes. I'd be happy to.
It should be a thing. All right. So any other Minnesota Wild? Nothing obvious really stands out.
No.
Playoff utility, I get, like, it'd be an entity, but
Or could it be like state of hockey?
Yes,
state of hockey.
It might be the fans or something.
Yeah, hockey
but
fans.
But I don't see it this year.
Okay.
I don't see it this year. The one thing, too, though, because, again, top of mind, and Patrick loves this. Could we have a seat at the table for marketing people? Because he's clearly offended, and he should be, by the price on these Twins authentic jerseys.
And he hates the Wolves new jerseys.
He hates the Wolves jerseys. And the Wild. I mean, the one thing he knows is that the Wild charges a lot as well. Yeah. So, like, all of this might at least lend credence to them being at the table in a marketing capacity.
Oh, that's great. I love this. Okay. All right. Let's stop here, and we'll make predictions and write that down. Mackie and Judd.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
Welcome in to the most revolutionary, innovative segment in all of sports talk. Don't believe the imitators out there. The NFL networks, the ESPNs. I saw another one yesterday.
Yeah?
Someone sent us a screenshot of another stolen Mackie and Judd segment. What was it? It wasn't Write That Down. Someone stole that.
No.
Was it?
Oh, no. Turkey of the Year from Royce.
Turkey of the Year.
PTI's Turkey of the Year.
Amazing.
Stolen right from Patrick.
From Patrick. So stolen from the family. Stolen from the family. We consider Patrick family.
Nobody steals from the family.
Except ESPN and NFL Network.
Kornheiser will pay. He'll pay.
So this is the only show in America that actually puts statistics next to our predictions. That's right. You can see how wrong we are on a regular basis.
Oh, God.
You guys never admit that you're wrong about, well, actually, we do way too much. Probably more than we should. So here's how it works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you want to participate like Cody is about to, send us a message through the Score North app and we can get you scheduled for sometime, maybe like early 2023.
Write it down. It's like a personal contract with ourselves.
So we've got weeks remaining here in the 2022 Write That Down season. And Declan has been dominating both categories, mostly the batting average category. Just absolute Mike Trout in his prime domination. Purple Daily's been a little bit more back and forth, although Declan's been leading that for the majority of the year here, too. So we'll see what happens. Should we get to the accountability session,
Let's
boys?
Do it. Let me
no.
get it.
See what's going on here.
No, I don't want to.
A little bit of red here.
This is a bad week.
Judd, you said a lot of faith in Gopher football here coming off the board for you. You said Gopher football will beat the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Nope.
Okay, that was last week, which was really stupid. This one was older, which is even more stupid.
Yep, you said Gopher football will win the Big Ten West and will clinch it at Wisconsin.
Sorry, Judd.
Nice job. Nice job there, Judd.
Just move on. I have nothing to say about this.
I can't really speak.
For whom the bell tolls.
We'll start with this parlay, this Wolves parlay gone awry last week. I said against Orlando, D'Lo would shoot under 40% from the field, Cat would have 25 points or more, and Kyle Anderson would be a plus 10 or better. So this was wrong. This was tracking, though. So Cat had 25 or more. Kyle Anderson was like a plus 17 at one point in that game, and D'Lo was 1-for-4, I think, going into the fourth quarter or something. And then he made a couple shots out, went sideways. Gopher football will beat both Iowa and Wisconsin.
Mm.
Gopher football will play in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-mm.
Gopher football will win at least 9 regular season games. However, I thought this might have been a home run at some point, but probably not. It's just a solid knock here.
Yeah.
I said I would run a poll about the Twins' new uniforms, and at least 50% of people will choose who cares make the playoffs. 51% of people chose who cares make the playoffs. Pretty good.
Thanks, Gopher football. Thanks, PJ Fleck.
Oof. Bad news. Listeners, Michael said Adam Thielen and TJ Hockenson will each have a touchdown against the Cowboys.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
If they did, they still would have lost by 3 touchdowns. Arturo said the Vikings will finish at least 13-4 with wins against the Cowboys and the Bills. Evan had, this should have come off the board probably a while ago, but he had a parlay. Irv Smith, over 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, and a top 10 fantasy tight end. Wah, wah. And then Jesse Pierce from the Before We Die podcast on Purple Daily said the Gophers would win the Rose Bowl and Mo would be the Rose Bowl MVP. Oof. Fade the Gophers is the lesson here, kids.
Forget them.
And here's Declan.
I won't use the other F word I was thinking of. Just forget the Gophers.
Declan, you had the in your attempt to pad your batting average, you said the U.S. men's national team would beat Wales in the World Cup. And the soccer and write that down god said, "Nyet."
If they kept getting balls deep and weren't playing prevent defense, you know, that should have been an easy
one. I wondered why you
there.
Cared so much. I forgot about this. Mm-hmm. I was like, why does Declan acting like he cares? This is why you cared. Okay.
And then you said Paul Goldschmidt and Aaron Judge both win MVP awards, which awesome. And then the second part of the parlay was Goldschmidt will be a unanimous MVP
you
in the National
League. You cowards,
you
clowns who gave Nolan Arenado a first. You're like the nine people who, like, come on.
Manny Machado
season
got a few, too.
Was so much better than those two. Wasn't even close. What were we looking at?
You are lashing out right now because you're
fine.
Mad at yourself.
Fine.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Yep.
That's okay.
You know what? If you had just stopped and put a period after in the MLB.
Yeah, no. It's true. Then you said Johnny Gargano will take the Money in the Bank briefcase off of Austin Theory in the WWE by Royal Rumble 2023. He cashed it in and he failed, right? Did he fail?
He cashed in for the Intercontinental title for whatever reason and he failed. Can I self-report two things that are not on here?
Uh-oh.
I need to point out. Let me find the database. Hold on.
So
looking for a database.
Last week, I told you about 24 hours prior that Tyson Jost would be traded, waived, or off the Wilds roster. And last week's write that down. Tyson Jost was waived. However, I believe there is a prediction from Judd's Hockey Show that I said he'd also would score 20 goals for the Wild. So it's one on.
Okay, you get it, but you never put your
the
Judd's
Wild
Hockey
ones?
Show predictions on the.
I think I have.
I
those.
Need those.
I will send those to you. I have those. But the Mackie and Judd edition from last week. I had Tyson Jost being off the roster, and it must have been hearing something. I don't know. But it happened.
Okay, so they'll trade, cut, or move on from Tyson Jost here. So I'll give you we'll give you that one, and then we'll. So I don't have the. Give me the Judd's Hockey Show ones, and then we can.
Okay, I'll forward you those. I think Judd and I emailed those in the beginning.
So with that, Declan sitting probably slightly higher than 415 here with 15 home runs. Judd, you're at 338 with 9 home runs.
I'm crashing.
I'm at 295 with 12 dingers. Listeners close. At 281 with 12 dingers.
I'm crashing that.
I would say over the last month, all of us here are kind of in a end of the year slump.
It's been tough. Yeah. To this point, I'm mostly on the home run prediction train because I can't catch you in batting average. So I'm going to try and catch you in home runs, but that's not going well.
You can catch me.
In average? Yeah, I can probably catch you.
Yeah, you can catch me.
For the career stats, Judd with 248 hits leads everyone. Listeners with 31 home runs, they lead everyone in that category. So, whew, all right. That was a meaty accountability session. Let's get Cody in here. He's our guest listener predictor coming on the show. Cody, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
We're doing okay. We're grinding toward the end of the right.
Do you
that
see
down
that? I'm not
here.
Doing well at all, Cody. I'm doing crappy. Do you see how bad I'm doing?
We're playing like Adam Dunn. Apparently, we either strike out or hit a home run. So.
Yep, that's true. Or Miguel Sano, which is mostly strikeouts in the last couple seasons, I guess. So, Cody, what's your strategy here? Are you swinging for the fences? Are you going to try and help the batting average? What's your plan?
We're going to go 2 intermediate routes and probably one for the future because this season seems like a loss for the listeners. I hate to say it, but we kind of suck right now.
Okay, you're going to plant some seeds.
A lot of home run swings.
I like this.
From you guys. A lot of them.
Three seeds planted from earlier, but at this point I don't see them happening. So.
Yeah, most listeners like to come on and swing for the fences because if you're going to come on once in a year, you know, what's the fun in swearing around
Break
to bunt? So we'll start with Cody. We'll go over to Judd, Declan, and then me, make 3 trips around the room. Cody, you are in the batter's box, sir. Fire away.
Write this down.
small little parlay. Write this down. FanDuel has right now the Vikings as a 2.5-point favorite. They will cover the spread, and one of their touchdown celebrations will be a Thanksgiving-themed touchdown celebration.
I like it.
It's good.
I like that. It's good stuff. Okay.
Write this down.
Judd.
The Minnesota Timberwolves will be eliminated in the NBA's play-in tournament.
Oh, wow. So, you're already done. You're done with the
They're going to make the
play. Dude, they're two games out of the one seed right now, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? This team is ripe to screw up. They are going to get, they're going to finish in one of those final four spots, but unlike last year, they're not going to get out of that. So they are going to be eliminated at some point in that play-in tournament.
You're just bailing. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, and you're just bailing
on
the Timberwolves.
I'm done. I'm done with a lot of
You're not even waiting for...
I'm not in... When it comes to the Wolves and Wild, let's just say I'm not in good holiday humor.
Okay.
Write this down.
Feels like you're bailing a little early. That's fine. Declan?
For our Turkey of the Year, are we picking the winner? Is that the parameter? So we have to pick a winner for Turkey of the Year. Is that
correct? So it'll be a home run prediction.
Okay,
you're picking the winner.
Gotcha. I'm going to hold off for that because I'm thinking. So in the meantime, though... I will give you this prediction instead. I'm going to go back to the soccer well. The United States men's national team will advance from pool play. They will advance from pool play. This is a solid knock. It's not a home run. They're tracking to do so, but they will advance from their pool play. They need a big win against England on Black Friday to probably help this cause, but they will advance from their pool play.
Okay. All right, write this down.
Write this down.
I'm gonna contradict Judd's prediction. And I will say the Timberwolves will be a top six seed at some point in the next 2 weeks. So let's just say by December 6th. By December 6th, the Timberwolves will be a top six seed. They will be above the play-in.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. How dare you bail on the Timberwolves this early?
Sorry to offend you.
Bandwagon's going to be locked and closed for
Truth
you
hurts.
In February and March.
Truth hurts.
All right, Cody, what's your second prediction?
The Vikings will have a little bit more time to think about how to game plan against the Jets. And one of the earlier favorites for the Vikings to draft in this past coming year's draft was Sauce Gardner. I think the Vikings bust him up this coming next week for over 100 yards and a touchdown.
So it'll be on Sauce. On receivers that he is specifically
yes,
covering. He will give up over 100 yards.
Coverage, yeah.
And a touchdown?
Yep.
Okay.
Sauce, man. You get that 10 days to prep for him.
Write that down.
I love that name. Absolutely love that. Sauce Pretty Gardner's good. Great.
Pretty good football player.
Over to me?
Over to you.
Over to Zolgad. Now to Goff. Write this down. Bruce Boudreau, our friend, will be fired by the Canucks before Christmas.
Poor guy.
He
belongs on TV at this point, right? TNT.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'd be great in studio there.
He is great in studio. He's done it. He's good.
If Tockett leaves, I think he'd be great fun.
Tockett.
Because he would also accidentally, late night, no question about it, drop an occasional F-bomb.
Is that why they got rid of Kevin Garnett a couple years ago? Because he would just like accidentally swear in there. This is not.
Was that even an accident? Was he even trying to watch himself? I think he was just purposely letting F-bombs fly.
Yeah.
Judd, wouldn't that be just a straight swap, Tockett for Boudreau, if Tockett got the Canucks job and Boudreau took his job on TNT? Wouldn't that be just a straight-up swap for swap? That'd be incredible.
I'd do that swap.
Oh, my gosh.
I like Rick, but yeah, Bruce is great.
I'm going to make a War Games prediction, Phil. I might be hedging a little bit here, but there's still a mystery opponent for the women's team in War Games. There's one that has not been announced yet. And it is in Boston, Massachusetts, and she has not been on television in months, and she has a great relationship with Triple H. So write this down. Sasha Banks will return at WWE War Games this weekend.
You are hedging because you also have Sasha Banks signing with AEW at some point in 2022.
Yeah, I thought I made that prediction this summer or something, but that's fine. I think it makes too much sense. It's in her hometown. Vince is gone. There's a mystery person. It probably is Sasha.
Judd, if Sasha Banks joins that War Games match, how do you think it'll impact?
I think WWE is on the right track now. Mm-hmm. Like the change in what president from Vince to the new guy who's Triple H, right?
Yeah, Triple H. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he's Triple H, okay. He's definitely the new guy. Yep. Yeah.
I feel like there's been some fresh blood there. And,
very
and,
fresh, yeah.
And AEW, you know, let's admit it. They've made some big missteps of late, business-wise. Yeah. I mean, they were on the right track, and now I think the pendulum is shifting. So, Sasha Banks, I love this prediction.
I'm here for the Judd wrestling breakdowns, for sure.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think I hear Dex enough to sort of sell it.
That new guy, Triple H, that joined the company in early 1996, I believe.
Well, he's new in this job. I'm sorry. I should have been very clear. Yeah. Triple H, new in this role.
Paul Levesque's guy, you know, he's doing pretty good work there. They should really promote that guy.
All right, write this down. The Detroit Lions are 9.5-point underdogs against the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
They will ups. So I want this to be my Wolves prediction probably wasn't a home run. I want this to be a home run. The Lions will upset the Buffalo Bills in this game. They will outright win a game in which they are 9.5-point underdogs against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's a nice shot.
Okay.
Detroit gets their home field back.
Yes. Yeah. So is Buffalo just staying there?
They must have, right?
No, they went home.
I mean, that's an easy commute, right? Detroit, Buffalo. I got to imagine that's like a less than an hour flight.
I think once they were...
Was the Buffalo airport open after getting 6 feet of snow?
Yes. Yep. Yep. They cleared it off, I think, pretty quickly. So, because they got out on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. And they already had like four.
Write that down.
I am your airport source.
Yes, there is. If you're looking for airport and wrestling breakdowns, Judd Zolgad is
100% off the record, though. Don't use my name.
Cody, your third and final prediction.
All right, here's my seed for next year. I hate to say it just because Adam Thielen was a hometown favorite, but there's only enough money in the pot for certain people, and they got to pay Justin or they got to keep paying Adam Thielen $17, $18 million a year. Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson will not be teammates next year.
Yeah,
I think that's. I think the Thielen thing's tough. It's the contract is hard to. It's hard to boot.
Well, they have to pay him. They have to find a center next year. They either have to pay Bradbury or bring somebody else in. They have to pay Danielle Hunter because this is the last year of his contract. I think Patrick Peterson is a free agent after next year. What are they doing with Cam Dantzler? Are they going to exercise his fifth year option? There's a lot of a lot to do next year with this team. They could blow it up next year. I don't know.
I wonder if Daniil sticks this time.
Maybe. What do you mean? Like he like signs a new contract or?
Yeah, like his asking price is going to be huge still, and I wonder what the intention is there from the Vikings.
Well, it's the type of player that an analytically sound general manager would pay. You would pay extra for edge rushers. You probably wouldn't pay for a 32-year-old wide receiver, although they didn't
sort
they
of did.
Didn't they kind of do that?
Like, yes, they did.
I think ownership might have said, we're keeping Kirk and Adam, figure the rest out. Well, okay, sounds good. Yeah.
And doesn't Zadarius's number jump up by like $11 million next year?
Yes.
It does. Yeah. Absolutely worth it if he's healthy. But now it's a question of he only played 25 snaps last week. So anyhow, great predictions, Cody. Is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to this pinnacle moment here on Mackie and Judd?
As always, my wife for always holding it down whenever I decide to watch the TV, especially this past week when just about the entire house wanted to fall down. My fantasy teams hurt, my TV hurt, my heart hurt. I think everybody in Viking Nation was crying over the weekend, but
hang in there, buddy.
Yeah, hopefully this week we at least do something. Make it interesting and don't really think.
Yep, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Cody, great stuff, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you, Cody.
All right. Yeah, it's kind of nice that there's just another game, you know, 4 days later.
Don't get trucked again, I think is what he's saying.
All right, let's go back to Judd here. Your final prediction, which I would assume is your turkey of the year.
It is.
Presented by our friends at Finch Home Solutions.
It is, and you know what? This prediction is going to be about a turkey of the year, but you know what's not a turkey? Anything that Finch does, because Finch Home Solutions is there for you when it comes to your electrical needs. Guess what? Thanksgiving on Thursday, Black Friday, and then it's Christmas time. Ho, ho, ho. That means it's time to get outside and put the lights up. And the lights, I mean, that's a lot of work. And you know what? What's the most frustrating thing? When you get the lights all strung up and you go to turn them on, because you only do this once a year and they won't turn on. And you're saying, okay, what's the problem? What's the problem? Don't worry about the problem. Call my friends at Finch Home Solutions because they will fix whatever is wrong. 612-357-2604 or finchhomesolutions.com. Also, when you call them, say, I'm a Score North fan, because they'll say, okay, that's cool. We will give you a free home safety inspection. A free home safety inspection because you like Score North. Be sure to tell Cody and his team that you heard about us as well, and because then they can write that down. See what I did there? And when they do that, they can say, we know that Score North works. Again, FinchHomeSolutions.com. Quit laughing and get on board, both of
write
you.
This down.
Finch Home Solutions.
Yes, we see what you did there. That was great.
See what I did? You got to write that down, Finch Home Solutions.
All right, who is your turkey of the year? What's your prediction, Judd?
My prediction, I'm going to go with my last one. I think I she's not won it. It's wow. It's a person that Patrick, I think, would enjoy giving some grief to. Cheryl Reif, Lynx GM and coach.
Oh, man. It's a great idea, man. It is a great idea. It would be an honor. It's one of the only – she's won WNBA championships.
Yep.
It would she's be done all these great things. Hasn't she helped coach an Olympic team? Like,
oh, yeah.
The only thing missing on her mantle, next to the nets that are cut down and the empty bottles of championship champagne, is a giant turkey of the year plaque or trophy.
It makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yes. All right, Dex.
Write this down.
All right. I'll go with a Twins one. I wanted to do the Twins coaching staff, but I think they'll have a seat at the table. I think it's too broad, and I can't just give it the winner. So I'm going to go with Correa. I think Carlos Correa is the turkey of the year. I'd steal Maggie's. I think Carlos Correa.
It was 50-50 for me, and you just made it 100 okay. Now for me. But
all right, I'm going to go with Carlos Correa. He'll be your turkey of the year.
I think it is. I think it's Carlos, but I'll go elsewhere here. Because it's not obvious. Sometimes too, the he'll look at an entity first and say which entity deserves to be ripped. Mm-hmm. Is it Twins? Is it Timberwolves? Is it Gophers? Whatever. And I think he's going to look at Twins back to back terrible seasons, all this stuff. And there's some obvious ones as we talked about, like Falvey Levine. But I think Carlos Correa is an easy one for him to punch up on. So. I think Declan's going to get this one. I'm going to stick with my instinct at the end of our preview show, though. I'm going to say it's Bally Sports North in some way.
Coming up next, we're Turkey of the Year. Yeah. Why is that a positive? We'll tell you.
So it's going to be some, it's hard to quantify exactly, but it will be representative of Bally Sports North, the Turkey of the Year. Okay. Morno or the group altogether or Jim Pete finally. Jumping the shark in his mind with his road, they need to go play on the road comments.
I love this one.
Great interview on the Flagrant House podcast last week, and he elaborated on that take, and it makes sense. He basically said, it's all about, like, this team needs to form chemistry and bond, and you do that on the road more than you do at home. You go to dinner together. You hang out at the hotel together. You whatever. You're on buses together, so. So I get it, but Patrick thinks it's just ridiculous, so I'm going to go Bally'sburg.
All right. I love this one. I think this is great.
All right.
This would be hilariously funny, too. It would be great.
So, all right, there's your Write That Down predictions, your Turkey of the Year preview. Mackie and Judd, we will be live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel after Vikings-Patriots and after all of your stuffing and yams and turkey has settled. Your wine, your pie, whatever you're consuming. So check us out on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, Vikings Vent Line, right after that game is over. And I'll throw this out too. 15% off Black Friday special. Everything is 15% off. ScoreNorth.com/shop. ScoreNorth.com/shop. 15% off everything in the store. So get those little stocking stuffers or whatever you want to. A Before I Die hooded sweatshirt or a Mr. Fourth Quarter Comeback hooded sweatshirt, T-shirt. Hopefully he racks up another one before the season's over. But check it out, scorenut.com/shop. We will see you guys tomorrow.